outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, August 16th, and we're back in the studio live.
We are back.
After a three-day weekend.
Woohoo!
Thank you for joining us. Hi, Stephanie.
How are you, Sammy?
Good. Welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you. Oh, it's nice to be missed.
Yes.
I missed L.A.
I did.
You know, it was a nice little trip away, but I was in New York this weekend for this this spokesmodel gig for Fiat, which they're bringing them back.
Yes, the Fiat 500.
Yep, after 25 years of leaving.
Yeah. Do you like the car? You probably get to check it out. Huh?
Yeah, I think it's awesome for a little car. It's got a lot of room, which you think that it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It's better than the Smart Car. It's better than the Mini Cooper. And, you know, Fiat bought Chrysler, so so they're back, and, you know, they're more reliable, because I guess they used to be named, well, Fiat, people would joke and call it Fix It Again Tony. Mm. That was, like, the joke of it, because it would always break down. And so, and there was people that were saying it this weekend, and I was like, no, it's, you know, I'm like, it's a lot more reliable, Chrysler, you know, them pairing it up, and it's cheaper to fix. And anyway, so it was great. It was such a, we were, like, right in the middle of Times Square, and 30...
Oh, really? It was outdoors in Times Square?
Yeah. Right in Times Square.
And there was, this was like the introduction of the car? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was like the introduction. Okay. So they're doing like a tour around the country. And so there was like 30 cars parked in Times Square. And then on the one of the Jumbotrons, we were showing classic movies that have been remade, like Ever After and Romeo and Juliet and the League of Extraordinary Men. And so there's speakers all over, so people would stop and watch, and they could sit in the cars and watch the movie, like a little drive-in.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And they were handing like out all these like Italian, like food, like tiramisu and gelato and or like Italian water and espresso and all this stuff. And it was just, it was seriously really, really fun. And
yeah.
Fiat's such a great company. And it's a great little car. You guys should check it out. It's super inexpensive.
Yes. How much is it?
Well,
like 12,000 or something?
15.
Really?
And that's starting like the hatchbacks are starting at 15,000. I'm doing my pitch all
week.
I know it so perfectly.
At the end of the show, I'll be buying
one. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. And people were like, you're doing a good job. You're a good saleswoman. And I was like, thank you. Because I'm like, you would look so good in that car. But I remember saying it to this like big black guy, and I was like, you would look so good in this. And he was like, I could barely fit in it. And I was like, no, get in there. Just get in there. There's a lot of room. And he gets in there and he goes, wow, this is actually surprisingly large.
Really?
But the lowest package starts out at 15, and then the highest package of that is 19,000, which is great. And then the Cabrio, which is the convertible, starts out at 19 and tops out at like 23. So
yeah,
it's pretty good. And it's a great little car just to like get around. Parking is easy. And I think if I could fit both my dogs in there, actually I could. It's fine. They could fit in there. You know, I would get it. But I think they should just give me a car personally.
Okay,
that's
I'm sold on it. You sold me on it.
I love it. I think it's really fun. Now, they're all manual. You can pay $1,000 more to get an automatic, which I would do. But it's it's really nice inside. It's seven airbags. Like, you feel really safe. You don't feel claustrophobic.
Yeah.
You know, in a smaller car, like in that smart car, I think I would kill myself.
And Fiat should be reliable. I mean, they've been around forever. I remember they're mostly in Europe. I mean, we don't really know about them much here. But at the same time, they do have rather popular cars. You know, I mean, I don't know how reliable they are, but they are.
Oh, the Fiat?
Yeah. They are pretty popular.
You know, they're just, I mean, that was back in the day. Like, obviously, right. Things are getting better and better. So people are, like, seeing them. They're like, oh, I remember Fiats. And some people really loved them. And some people are like, oh, they're not really reliable. But they've come a long way. And now, you know, pairing with Chrysler, I think it's a win-win situation for them. Mm. You know, Chrysler is really pretty reliable. And you can do it here. And it's just, it's great. I think it's a great little pairing for the both of them. And it's a fun car. I had a great time. I wish we could drive it.
Yeah. Oh, they didn't let you drive
them? No, they were just stationed there. But we got to sit in them and stuff. But I didn't get to drive it. I'd like to. I think it'd be a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely not a race car, but, you know, it's fine. I think it's a really cute small car. I wouldn't feel claustrophobic. I didn't feel claustrophobic at all when I was in it.
Oh, yeah?
Which is nice. Even in the back seat, like, there is room for two other people in the back seat.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably more room than my Mustang, you know?
Oh, probably,
yeah,
actually.
I mean, there's no room at all there. If you have legs, don't even bother.
Yeah, but it was fun. And I love New York. But I could never live there. Like, I love it because there's always something to do.
Right. There's a lot of people, a lot of happening stuff.
Yeah, and you never are bored. And I got to say, like, I feel like I lost, like, 20 pounds there. Because
really?
You walk everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And that's the beautiful thing about it. Like, you really can walk anywhere, and it's awesome. But then again, I'm not there in the winter. I think I would kill myself if I had to walk around in the winter like that. But it was so great. And there's so many great restaurants there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's dirty as hell. It's so dirty. I mean, it's clean for the amount of people, but it's still dirty.
Yeah, you found it dirty?
Oh, it's just, it smells like pee. It's like, you know, it's like that. I can't, that doesn't turn me on.
Yeah.
And the trash system, I don't understand it in New York. You know, do you know, have you been there?
Oh, yeah, several times.
So
I never
noticed
the trash problem, though.
Oh, how do you not? You walk down the street, there's trash bags
on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk.
I
and that's the that's the trash system.
Wow.
And it's like I feel like every single day it's like it's trash day. Like there's trash out on there on the street. And they come by and pick it up, but there's like I mean here you have to put it in a dumpster and you have to take the dumpster out.
Right.
You know, like restaurants and stuff. I'm talking restaurants throw their trash bags on the side of the street and that's it. Like that's their trash. It's so disgusting. Like it grosses me out. Like no tomorrow. I can't handle. And then there's like, you know, there's rats crawling. It's just like, ugh, everything about that is gross. But there is a certain charm to New York and there's things that I love about it, but I like to visit it. I could never, ever live there.
Yeah. Visiting there is incredible.
I've been
there several times. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Although I agree with you and I've heard a lot of people say that it's cool to visit there, but not to live.
Although,
you know, people that live there would never change. You know, they would never move. They love it so much. So go figure. You know, you probably have to be used to that kind of lifestyle.
I think so. I mean, you have to be okay with the big city life, which is great. But, you know, it's just like I love the fact that the city doesn't sleep. It's like Vegas, but not Vegas, because Vegas I can only handle for 3 days. But I like the fact that things are open late, like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to go to a city, I would live back in Chicago. It is such a clean city. It's crazy. Like, it's so beautiful, and it's so clean, and that's something that if I was to live in a city, I would live in Chicago again.
Mm.
But New York is cool. It has some amazing, amazing restaurants, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it. I like that there's so many great restaurants. You could eat at a different restaurant every day of the year.
Right.
And still not hit the same one. Like
right, exactly.
That's what's so great. And I love that it's a walking city. I feel healthier there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm not spending my life in the car. So you feel like you're interacting more with people there.
Right.
Because you're not sitting in your car driving everywhere. That's the downfall of L.A. But then I'm like, oh, L.A., the weather, it's so nice.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
But New York does have great things. You know, you walk around, it smells of food, smells good.
And piss.
And the peanuts, the roasted peanuts and stuff everywhere.
The hot dogs, it's so great. It's awesome. So I met, so everybody, you know, walks by and we had a, you know, we're obviously talking to people and I met some really, really great people there. And there's these three kids, right? And they were kids, three guys.
Mm-hmm.
They come up and one of them's got like this rubber band ball. which is like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like Pee Wee's Playhouse used to have it. And he's like bouncing it, and he bounces it over to me. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And he's like, that's for you. I want you to keep that. And I was like, I don't want your rubber band ball, dude. And he was like, no, I want you to keep it. And I was like, I don't want it. So anyway, we started talking. And they're all these, so these three kids, this guy, his name is Mickey. I'll tell you what his last name is in a second. But he, I mean, hilarious. Like, so, I loved his energy because he was so, he's 17 and he was like so sure of himself, like not in a cocky way, but in a really like funny, outgoing, can talk to anyone kind of way, can make fun of himself. Like he was just, he was awesome. He's definitely going to be a great little, you know, boyfriend to some awesome girl. So they're 17, right? So Mickey starts like flirting with me and I'm sitting here like, dude, you don't know how old I am, but I'm so much older than you might think I am. And I didn't want to say anything. So I was just going with it. I was just, you know, I always just humor the guys because they're just like horny little 17-year-olds. So we're talking, whatever. And then he's like, you know, we're hitting off, having a great time. And then they leave because I have to go off and they come back later, okay? Okay, so they come back later. And Mickey's like, and now I'm at the other part of like where our booth thing was. And he comes over and he's like, stick out your hand and close your eyes. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? I stick it out. He puts a ring pop on my finger, like my engagement finger. And he's like, will you marry me? And I was like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous and yet so awesome. So I put it on. So we're just laughing. Anyway, we're joking around. And I'm like, so what would my last name be if I married you? And he was like, he goes, my last name is Wiener Bronner. And I was like, and that's why I would not marry you ever, ever. And he goes, you know what's so great about that? And I was like, I don't know what's so great about your last name because it sucks. But I go, he goes, yeah, if you took the R out and Bronner, it'd be Wiener Boner. And I was like, really? You're,
yeah, that's
thank
great.
You. I was like, thank you, dude. But he was so adorable. Like, he's now my friend on Facebook. And he calls me his wife. But he's like, he was so adorable. I met some really, really great people there. Like, some super awesome people that, you know, I'll be, like, I'm in touch with, but they're great. Yeah, I loved it. I really had a great time, but I could never live there. Glad I'm back.
Glad you're back. How was the flight?
Ugh, layovers.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, really? It was fine. I always sit next to really great people, and I talk to them. But it was,
You're lucky. I sit next to great people.
I always sit next to great people. I don't know what it is. I always get great people next to me.
That's cool.
So the flights are always really great, but it's just, it's long, you know, because I had the layovers, and it's like, it's such a long trip there, but whatever. I mean, it was still, I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
But flying is not fun anymore.
It's a lot of work. It's like...
Exactly.
Like, that's
and
just...
Security and, you know, and delays and...
Yeah, it's just a lot of work.
And it's not comfortable in the plane. And
that's why I just take, like, melatonin.
Yeah.
Just so I'm, like, a little relaxed. So I'm not so, you know... But I forgot my headphones, and I'm like, I can't listen to music. And But thank God I was really tired. So, you know, I slept a little bit and talked a little bit and slept. And so it was okay. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, the flight.
Good.
So much to talk about. I feel like I'm like on overdrive right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you want to talk about?
No, so much. I don't even know where I should start. But I feel like I have been so out of the loop. Like nothing. I don't know what anything that's going on in the news right now. And it's not even like really that exciting.
Well, it's a small vacation. What the hell? You know?
I felt like I was like away from, because I was working. So I didn't really have any access to the newspaper, or I mean, I could have looked on the internet, but I was too lazy.
Yeah,
whatever.
Okay.
Who cares? Who cares? I was too busy eating food. I was eating some amazing food, actually.
Yeah. So but, this is amazing, and I told you this, that they flew you all the way from L.A. to New York, and I think that should be, you know, you should be proud of that, you know, that they couldn't find somebody good in New York, and they needed to fly you from here.
Well, they had a couple of people. I mean, there was a lot. There was quite a few people working for Fiat because they, you know, they want to get as many people to help out. But whoever has questions in Times Square, I mean, there's a lot of people in New York, so you can't just have one person.
Right.
But heck yeah, I feel awesome that they flew me out there. I mean, it's great. You know, you know, the promotional company hires you, but you know, Fiat has something to do with it. But Fiat is a great company to work. The people that I was working with were awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Awesome, awesome, awesome people. Hmm. Really great people. And the promotional company was amazing, too. It was just all around, like, the whole experience was fun. And the girls that I was working with were great. Mm. You know?
Well, good for you. You know, I mean, you're obviously in demand if they fly you all the way from New York.
I would love to think so.
That's a pretty good feeling.
Just give me a car, guys. That's all I want. Just give me a car. That's what I want. So I was reading this today. Do you know? Okay, I feel she's such a hot mess, worse than Lindsay Lohan. Did you know who Tara Reid is, the actress?
Yeah, yeah.
God, that girl's a mess.
What did they say? She's married or something?
Yeah,
she got married.
She was engaged and married in one day. So this is what I love. Okay, which is just ridiculous. This is her second time around.
Yeah, I mean, she's been gone forever. Nobody even knows her anymore, I don't think, right?
Who
is
really
she
cares?
On anything?
No, not really. I don't even know how she's... Like, I don't understand how she has any money. I mean, maybe that's why she's getting married. But so this is... So at 2:16... So she tweeted on Saturday that she was in Greece and she was engaged. Mm-hmm. Okay? That was earlier in the day. Then at 2:16 p.m., she tweets that... She goes, "I just got married in Greece. I love being a wife." Okay.
Yeah.
You have been engaged and married for hours. And she said, I'm like, it just, she's such a fucking moron. I'm sorry. She's a moron. Like,
well,
I can't stand
it. Well, give her some
time. Like, I love being a wife. Yes, you do, because you're in Greece and you're a couple hours married. Like, of course you love it because it's amazing.
Yeah.
But good luck with that, honey. And she's already been married.
Oh, yes.
Or at least she's been engaged, I think, to Carson Daly. Her and Carson Daly were together forever, which those two need to stay together because they're both just ridiculous. Anyway, I just thought that quote was so funny. I was like, really, sweetie? Like, you're just retarded.
And how did she even become famous? Was it 90210 or something? Or,
no, she was on...
What was she on?
American Pie.
That's right. Okay.
And that was her thing. And then she was in The Big Lebowski, too.
Was she?
I love that movie.
Really?
Oh, I love it. I think it's hilarious. Have you seen it?
No, I just saw scenes of it because Jeff Bridges was on Piers Morgan the other night.
Oh, yes. I heard that. I didn't watch it, though.
Because he came out with an album, I guess. He sings.
Okay. Is he good?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't hear it.
I don't think he is.
I'm not really interested.
What is with all these actors that are singers? I just can't get into it. Hey, yeah, good for them, though. They're all talented. But where was I going with Tara Reid? Oh, she was also in The Big Lebowski, which is such a great, great movie. I highly recommend seeing that movie. It's hilarious.
Okay.
But I don't know what she's doing. Like, she hasn't worked for years since American Pie, really. Like, how does she make her money?
That's how I
feel about Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
She's not working, but she's shelling out millions of dollars for her lawyers. How is this girl, like, living?
I don't know. Hopefully they manage her money and she has a lot of it left.
I
have no idea. But you're right. I mean, she's been famous for many months for nothing. You know, she hasn't done anything other than bad stuff.
Exactly.
And get in trouble.
And you know that she's paying. I mean, she's in court every other day, so she's got to pay her lawyers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that they're doing pro bono stuff for her for, like, 5 years, because that's how long she's been in and out of court.
That's true.
I'm thinking that she has to pay quite a bit of money to her lawyers.
Is she in the news today? I mean,
no.
Did she
did she do anything? No, yeah. Remember she was in
what's
last week?
Remember
we talked about last week when she was getting crystals from those guys on the street?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That's probably one of the best stories I've ever heard. That actually is the best story I've ever heard. No, there's one more story. Did we talk about this on the show? This was in the news. I think we did. And I was telling my friend about this the other day. Probably one of the craziest stories I've heard. There was a homeless guy that... this must have been a month ago.
Uh-huh.
Where he... I don't know where he was. Some city. And he... this woman had some condition and where she fainted. It wasn't epilepsy. There was something else. But anyway, this woman was walking. She actually fainted on the street, right? Mm-hmm. And she's just lying there and nobody was helping her. So this homeless guy goes over and he starts fucking her.
Really?
And just goes up, takes his pants off, and starts fucking her, right?
In the middle of the street.
In the middle of the street. So then obviously, like, people come and, like, help her and get him off of her. But then he gets arrested, rightfully so. And this is what he tells the cops. He's like, they were like, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I thought she was dead. Oh my God. Okay. There's so much wrong with that. You're going to go. So it's okay for you to go stick your penis inside of a dead woman. Cause that's okay. That's normal.
Yeah.
And the police chief was like, I have been in this business for a long time. And he's like, I have never heard anything in my life like that. This guy just starts going over. Like, it's still disturbing that she fainted, but like, the fact that he says to her, well, I thought she was dead, so it's like, it's okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to go ahead and stick your penis in because it's just a corpse. It was so, like, it was so uncomfortable to hear. I was laughing so hard, though, but at the same time, it was so disturbing. Wow. But that's one of my favorite stories in the news.
I mean, men are just, like, fucking crazy, you know?
Would you ever go stick your penis in a dead woman or a woman that has fainted? I mean, come on. How effed up do you have to be?
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous. Men are seriously ridiculous. Yeah. They'll stick their...
Although, you know, a homeless guy, he might be mentally not okay, but at the same time, men are crazy. They do all kinds of crazy shit.
Yes, they are nuts.
When it comes to sex.
I've never heard of anybody sticking their penis in what they thought was a dead woman. Even a woman that fainted is yet, it's still disturbing. But the fact that he was like, well, you know, I thought she was dead, so it's
she's
okay.
She's dead, it's okay.
So it's okay. So if I come inside of her, she's not going to get pregnant. I thought it was so gross.
She's not going to complain if the sex is bad.
I know, right? She just has to lay there. Oh my God, it's so ridiculous. Anyway, that's my favorite story. Did you see the you don't watch ever The Real Housewives, have you? Do you?
No, but I saw the piece in the news. It's pretty shocking.
I know. I actually did watch a little bit of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And so they're saying today that this Taylor Armstrong, which is one of the women on there, who's one of the housewives, her husband Russell Armstrong actually was found dead in his home Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't find a suicide note.
Right.
He was pronounced dead at 8:16, and he hung himself in his home.
Wow. And but they're not living together, right? They're estranged from her.
Yeah, they're estranged because she was finally came out saying that he was verbally and physically abusive to her during their 6-year marriage.
Right.
And I have to say, like, watching the show, he is awful. He was awful to her. Like,
you could see that on the show.
You could just see, and it wasn't like this. He was hitting her or yelling at her. He was really mean to her, really short with her, didn't care, just wasn't there. He wasn't a loving man at all.
Right.
Now, my heart, you know, totally goes out to her, and I'm sure this is hard for her and her daughter because they had a daughter together.
I see.
And that's really rough and kind of shocking, but a little crazy, I have to say. Yeah. I mean, this is probably going to be on the new season of, I mean, it might and it might not, depending on how bad this is, but yeah. I mean, for her.
It sounds too morbid. Maybe they won't include it in there.
Well,
what do you think?
I think they might kind of...
Was he part of the show?
He was. He was on the show. That's why, like, this is...
I thought he wasn't part of the show.
They follow the housewives, right? So it's more so the women. But the husbands do come on there.
Right.
And they do go to parties and they'll table. So you do get to know them. And Russell was on there quite a few times.
Oh, yeah.
So this wasn't like he was... you didn't know who he was, you know? And... I'm kind of shocked about it. I mean, of course, my heart goes out to her and her daughter right now, and I'm sorry for that loss, but that it's pretty messed up.
It's such a terrible thing when people commit suicide.
Oh, I had me and my husband had a friend who did.
Really?
Yeah, it was rough. It was one of my husband's best friends, and he was a... And this isn't something that nobody talked. I mean, we've talked about it and people know about this, but he was this really, really, what's the word I'm looking for? A really kind of regal, like New York Jew. Like he was super smart, really well spoken, just like this, and like the nicest guy, like the life of the party.
Mm-hmm.
And he, years ago, went to Thailand and got hit by a semi in one of those tut-tuts or whatever they're called. Those little things that they drive around in Thailand. Anyway,
I don't know what those are.
I don't know what they're called, but anyway, he was hit
rickshaws or something?
Yeah, or like a rickshaw or whatever.
Yeah.
He was hit by a semi, paralyzed from the waist down, right, wow, for the rest of his life. So just, you know, after that, he was never really the same. Right. And then, like, probably, I mean, I knew him during our marriage, and he was at our, was he at our wedding? I think he was at our wedding. I think so, or maybe he did that before. Oh, it was actually before. He wasn't at our wedding. I'm sorry. When Dan and I were dating, you know, I got to know him. He gave us his old car in his will. He gave it to Dan, his 1972 Del Toral convertible. It was pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
I think Dan actually still has it, but he took his life. He was part of this Hemlock Society, which is...
What's that?
It's this weird... I don't know. It's like the online, and it's a group of people that are actually dedicated to finding ways to kill yourself.
Whoa.
Well, you know the membership can't be that high. I'm sorry to say that. But, like, it's pretty messed up. So he was part of this Hemlock Society, and found a way to do it. And he kind of just went crazy, lost his mind. Couldn't live like that, you know, paraplegic
anymore. How do you live like that? You know, I mean, some people can get used to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's hard.
Well, yeah, because especially if he, like, this was an accident kind of later on in his life, you mm-hmm. know. So unfortunately, he took his life at, he was in his 50s. And I remember we got the call. It was really rough. I mean, he had been talking about it for years to Dan.
Yeah.
You know, and Dan took away his shotgun and was like, you know, don't do, please, like, if you do this, just think about all of us that have to find you.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and that's hard.
It's a pretty selfish act. And
yeah.
But I don't judge the people because you don't know what
exactly.
they're going through.
Exactly.
And it's usually very deep depression. You yep. don't even see things the way they are.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's just like they feel like they have no other way out.
Yeah. It's painful. It becomes like physically painful.
Mm-hmm. And they, you know, so we remember him and we loved him dearly and he was such a great man. And unfortunately, he just couldn't live in this world anymore and he had to leave. And, you know, I mean, I'm glad that I met him and got to know him, but this is hard. I mean, it's hard for anybody. You know, there's just something that goes beyond anything that we can understand. People that aren't in that world.
Right.
You know, so you can't really sit there and look down upon them. And, you know, there's a lot of religions that do, that say that if you take your life, that you're going to hell.
Right. Yeah.
And that's really hard for me to swallow because I feel like, again, you just don't know why these people are
doing it. Yeah. It's hard to judge them.
It really is. If you're not in it, you can't say why, you know.
Exactly. You got to be
bad.
In their shoes.
Yeah.
And when you're depressed, that depressed, I don't think anything's going to help.
No, it's kind of...
But actually, I think there is hope. There is help. It's just that they don't realize it at the time.
Exactly.
All you have to do is reach out for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some kind of medication, therapy is going to put you right back where you need to be.
Yeah.
It's not necessary to take these steps.
No, it's not. And some people aren't okay with asking for help and reaching out. You know what I mean? And they feel like they can't go anywhere and they have nobody. And it's got to be a very lonely, dark, scary world to live in when you feel like that.
Right.
I can't imagine it.
Right.
Like, I can sympathize with these people. I can't empathize because I don't. I've had some dark periods in my life. I mean, I've gone through where I've thought about it at times. But
right.
To actually go through with that, to really feel like.
I know. It's like you couldn't do it.
No, yeah. Right. You know, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be, even the hard times that you go through, it's always going to get better. It's just temporary.
Yeah, exactly. One day is up, one day down.
Yeah, not even that. Like, it's just, you have to realize that you can't get attached to such things because everything changes. So it's just, it's hard. So my heart does go out to her and I feel bad. And I, you know, it's like, I feel like I know it sounds stupid. I feel like I know her because I've watched her on the show, you know, and I'm sure a lot of her fans are really sympathizing with her right now and really, you know, their heart.
But if they weren't living together, don't you think she was over him?
No, I
no?
don't. You know, I think she got to a place. I think the show really helped her find a voice for herself because women that are abused, we, you know, a lot of women go through it and you feel like you are alone a lot of the times, you know, and you don't know who to talk to. And I feel like the show really did help her to make friends, to come out, to be okay with it, to really admit it.
Right.
And I think that this was great for her. So I think she will always love him. I mean, she married him for a reason, you know, and the fact that he's the father to her daughter, excuse me, I think that she will. So I think this is probably a really hard time for her, even though she was ready to move on and kind of stand up for herself. And
yeah,
I still think that, you know, they meant something to each other for 6 years, and
that's
and
true.
That's got to be really difficult.
Gotta give him that.
So I'm very sorry to hear that. But
yeah. So yeah, so he hung himself in Bel Air. It's pretty lousy.
Oy. And then this other story. Sorry to bring it down. We'll bring it back up, guys.
Yeah.
Don't.
You
want to
bring everybody down?
No, I don't want to, but...
But that's what's in the news.
Well, this is just another story that I find rather, disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
This father confessed to decapitating his son, a special needs son.
Yes.
7-year-old boy, cerebral palsy. He had other disabilities. He was not able to speak. Decapitated his son.
That's in Louisiana.
In Louisiana. And he says, now his mother and the mother and the father had issues. The mother was out running errands or something. She came back.
Right.
He placed the head in a place where she could see it.
And I thought they found it on the street.
They did, but he said, and he and the child's mother had some issues, and he purposely put the child's head in a position for her to see it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but it was found by somebody else.
Right.
It wasn't found by her. But what I find so, not fascinating, but interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, he finally, at first he said that it was a CPR dummy, which is, people aren't that stupid. But anyway, then after they arrested him, took him into questioning and all that stuff, he admitted to doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says that in the interview, he said that he was taking care of the child for so many years, and he just started to look at him as no longer his son, just an intimate object.
I know, and that's amazing.
That is like...
That is so depressing to think about it.
I know.
You know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, people don't know how they would react if they had an autistic child or one that's
with
sick.
Cerebral palsy.
Right.
Yeah.
And but the mother says it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
The mother said that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, having the kid, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she meant. And, you know, how do you do this to your own son? How do you do it to anybody?
Right. But then just for him to admit that for me was the most fascinating part of it. I think the story is just beyond disturbing. But for him to, after so many years, just look at him as an inanimate object.
Yeah.
No longer a person. No longer a person. I mean, let alone his son, but no longer a person, just an object. That is what's so disturbing to me.
How depressing.
I am just...
People are fucking sick. How can you do that? I mean, how can you do that?
I don't know. It makes me so unbelievably angry, and I don't know. I don't want to hate people for that, but at the same time, it's just like... It makes me hate somebody like that can do that.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's not human, what they're doing.
But it's like this child struggling, like for that person to be going, that son to be going through what he's gone through. He can't speak. There's so many things that he needed a feeding tube. It's
right.
Like,
and then the person you rely on the most is the one you can't trust.
To take care of you is the one you can't trust.
Right.
That is so effed up. It makes me want to mom and on myself.
Mm.
Anyway, let's bring it back up a little bit.
I wonder if his trial is going to be pretty wide. But, you know, I mean, the thing is, these things happen all the time.
I know.
And they don't publicize them. It's only when it's unusual like this do they publicize it.
Yeah, I know. And it's not like you ever really want, you don't ever want to hear about this stuff. It's, you know, I don't know. I can't. I'm sorry to bring it down.
Yeah.
Now I'm depressed.
Yeah. But that's okay, because there's a little sex scandal with the airlines.
What?
Apparently, some photos of, Cathay Pacific, the airline. I think it's...
Cathay Pacific?
No, Cathay.
Oh, no,
or
I don't
Cathay?
Know.
Cathay. I think it's...
I don't know what you're talking about.
C-A-T-H-A-Y. Cathay
I don't
Pacific.
Know. Oh, I've never heard of it.
It's a... what is it? It's an Asian airline. I'm not sure what country it's with, but, yeah, it doesn't say.
Okay.
But at any rate, I guess there were widely circulated photos of two crew members having sex, and right as the company was ready to launch an ad campaign. So they're having oral sex, and I don't know if they were having it on the plane or whatever.
Oh, wow.
But it's funny because the ad they decided to postpone. The slogan was, meet the team who go the extra mile to make you feel special.
They really do go that extra mile, don't they? That is hilarious.
So I guess the company figured it's bad timing to come out with that.
That is awesome, actually. I think that's seriously one of the best things ever that happened.
Yeah.
There was something I had to say about hold on. My brain just had a brain fart. There was something that, anyway, whatever, go on, because that's hilarious. There was something I had to tell along those lines, but now I forget.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that those flight crews, I think they always have all kinds of hanky-panky going
on. Oh, yeah, well, we played it on the air. That's what I was going to say. Remember?
That pilot.
Yeah. And he was like, who are these old hags? There's nobody good to have sex with. And stuff. And it was recorded. I think that's so funny. And I was thinking about that. It was so, because now, ever since I heard that, mm-hmm. when I was on the flight to and from New York, I was thinking, like, I was looking at the flight attendants and the pilots, and I was like, I wonder who's gotten it on here. And now I'm going to think about that every time. But I did think about that to and from New York. What's funny is there was a woman on the way back from, because we had a layover from New York to, well, we went from New York to North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And then we went from North Carolina to L.A. But there was one woman on the North Carolina leg from uh-huh. North Carolina to L.A., and she was older, we'll say. And I was sitting there thinking of the pilot that said that, and I was like, I wonder if he was talking about her. Not to be mean, but I wonder if it was like one of them. But
yeah,
it's just
flight attendants are not beautiful and young anymore.
Well, there's some. Well,
most of them.
There's some. It's just you know, it was, I'm not saying at all. I mean, there's some beautiful ones. There's gorgeous ones, but it was just funny. Now I'm going to think about that all the time.
Yeah. You know, I've thought about being a flight attendant and stuff, or about the people that are.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine people doing this and because people view this as a glamorous job, and yet it's not. I mean, you're a friggin' waitress. That's what you are. You know, and you got to deal with people's bullshit and.
I mean, it's glamorous in the sense of you're traveling all over.
Right, you're traveling, but who wants to travel like that? For crying out loud, I'll make money at some other job, and then I'll fly and travel myself.
Okay. So Sam does not want to be a flight attendant. Okay, good to know. No, I agree. I could never do it. I would never want to do it.
Right.
That would never be a job that I'd want
to
do.
No,
you have to take care
of people like they're little babies.
Well, that's what waiters do. So you're saying you don't want to be a waiter.
That's what I'm saying. They're like waiters.
You better tip good then, man. Because I have to say, I have a lot of respect for people in the service industry. I really do. Mm-hmm. Because it's a rough business. People get crabby when they want food and drink.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then you got to deal with, when you're a bartender or a cocktail server, you got to deal with the stupid assholes that are drunk, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's just stupid. Like, I have a lot, so I always tip good because I have a lot of respect for people in the service industry. So
yeah, you know, I always tip well, but I ask myself sometimes, why is it expected? Why are you supposed to always leave the money regardless of what the service is like? Because it's not, I don't think it's the customer's responsibility to pay the salary of the waiters. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
because they're not being paid a lot, we have to pay them
extra. But they're waiting on you.
So what?
So you should.
But that's their job.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, they're busting their ass for you. They're giving you food.
Everybody busts their ass when they go to work.
But you know what? If they're not making a lot of money, you should absolutely.
But it's not your responsibility.
It's not about your responsibility.
Like I said, I tip well because I figured, you know, they go out of their way and stuff. But mostly I tip because it's expected. So sometimes I get service that's bad. I don't want to tip for that. But I do anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, that's your choice if you want to or not, like, tip well, you know, even if you have bad service. But I absolutely think that they should be tipped. You're providing a service, and the fact is they might not be making much money. Like, the business might not be paying them. A lot of people will get checks. A lot of waiters and bartenders will get checks that are void.
Right.
Because they take them all out for taxes. Mm-hmm. So it's like they're depending on that money.
Right, but who started it in the first place? That's what I'm saying. I mean, you got people at low-paying jobs. They don't get tips. When people work at McDonald's, they work as a gardener. They, you know, a million things. They work in an office with people. They serve them all the time, but yet they don't get tipped.
Well, right, but I mean, obviously it's...
Someone started this.
Yeah, but I think it's, you know what, I'm okay with it because I feel like in the service industry, it's totally different. Like, you're dealing with, most of the time, sometimes you'll get really great customers. And then there's times that you just get people that are really crabby, that don't give a shit, that are really rude.
Right.
And it's like, who wants to put up with that? So they make it bearable. I think people, waiters, I think, you know, bartenders, I think that they need to make as much money as possible. I do. I think people should tip and tip well. And especially dealing with drunk people, it's so annoying. It's so annoying.
Yeah, so you don't take the job if you don't like it.
Somebody's got to do it.
A lot of people, yeah, but the thing is, if you feel that you don't get paid a lot, let people that do feel they get paid enough to do it.
But what I'm saying to you is this.
Right.
If we didn't tip them,
right,
nobody would do the job.
Why?
Because who would want to put up with that bullshit from people and not get paid barely anything? Nobody would do the job.
But Stephanie, there's a lot of hard jobs that people don't want to do, and they do them anyway.
Yeah, but look, there are restaurants everywhere.
Right.
There's always
going to be. It's just like people that strike, you know, in unions and stuff. I know you're part of a union, but, mm-hmm, you know, it's like, why do you strike? You're not happy? Leave your fucking job, you know? But why do you have to strike and hold the customers as hostages?
It's not holding the customers. I think it's just, you know, there's a lot of people that...
Do you remember the strike they had here a few years ago and we couldn't go to the movies because of it? There's no TV shows, no new TV shows or anything. I think you do hold the customers hostage because they have nothing to do with it, and yet they're stuck in the middle between the employees and the employer.
Yeah, but as a person, you want to feel respected. You don't want to feel like a piece of shit. Like, and that's the problem. Like, a lot of these higher-ups, these corporations, just treat them as such. Like, you know what? Why don't these fucking corporate people, this is why I love that show that was on, the CEOs of the companies would come down and they would,
right,
do the jobs of the lesser quote-unquote people.
Right.
And you know what? Then they saw a different side to this, mm-hmm, because it's bullshit. And it's a caste system, and it's fucking bullshit. Because you know what? We are all the same. And if you're going to go up there because you're in a position of power and you're going to forget that these people are actually human beings, fuck you is what I say. Seriously.
But that's not – I don't think usually that's a problem.
But it
the
is.
Problem
it's
is
being
pay.
Disrespected.
It's usually money.
It is. It is, yeah, money. But it's like, you know what? These people do have to make it in this economy. And our economy is so bad right now.
But you, what you're suggesting is some people selectively will get help and some people will not. What about the people that don't belong to unions? They don't have rights?
No, I think everybody has rights.
Okay.
I think everybody absolutely has rights. It's not that they don't. It's just like, I don't think that people should be, you know, not given tips if they're working their ass off for you. It's just not, that's not okay for me. I don't have any respect for people that don't tip well. Like, I don't care. Like, if you have a shitty waiter that's crappy to you, mm-hmm, you know, then I understand that to a point, you know. But these people are working their ass off. And you know what? Money, it's not about the money, but unfortunately, we need money in this world to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to. We need to survive here.
No, I understand that. All I'm saying, though, is that you're talking about selecting specific people or specific jobs. And what I'm saying is, if you do it for one person, do it for everybody. And, you know, you don't tip people. Like, you know, I mean, at the airport, the guy just lifts your fucking suitcase. You know, it takes him 2 seconds and you have to tip him.
Well, you don't have to. You can if you want to.
It's expected.
Well, if you check outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, if you check inside, you don't.
Yeah. But no, but what about the guy that takes you in the shuttle or something, you know? He just brings down your bag. You have to give him $2-3. Why? You know, that's his job.
But it's just...
It's his job, Stephanie.
Yeah, but it's just money. It's like, why does it matter so much? Like, why can't you just... You know what? You're exchanging good energy between each other. Like, if you're going to... I feel it that way. Like, if I meet somebody, I'm going to be nice to that person just because I should be nice to everybody.
Right.
Okay? And I like to be nice to everybody. But I also... Money is also a great exchange of energy between... It's not about the money. It's just like this exchange of energy between people.
Right.
And that's the way I look at it. So I don't look at it as it's expected. I just look at it, you know what? It makes people feel somewhat appreciated, you know? But I also like to get to know the person. I also, when I talk to somebody that I don't know, I look at their name tag and I refer to them by their name.
Yeah.
I say, oh, you know, Jack, it's nice to meet you. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
And they then feel respected.
Well, of course. You know, that's what I'm saying. If you want to do it, that's fine. My only problem is it's expected. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Then there you go, Sam. That's all you're saying. Okay. Glad we got that.
That's all I'm saying.
We just got down to it. I love when we talked about it for like 10 minutes and then it was like, and that's it. And we're done.
Yeah, well, we gave our opinions. That's
Hell
good
yeah,
enough,
we did.
Right?
Hell yeah, we did. Hells yeah. So Kate Gosselin is finally off. You know who Kate Gosselin is?
I do.
God, I want to...
John and Kate plus eight. I remember that.
Slit my
yeah, I
off.
Mean, didn't anybody realize that this is like exploiting the children?
Well, it's sad that the parents didn't realize it. That, yeah. You know, John and Kate didn't realize it. But they just... Money hungry, fame, you know, whatever. Right. But now Kate's off the show, and the husband who divorced her years ago is, you know, happy about
He's
it.
Happy
whatever.
About it. Yeah.
They're both crazy.
Yeah.
I don't. Have you? Well, he's. Yeah. They're both just nuts. I've seen her, and she's a really like mean human being.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her on what's it called? That horrible The View.
Yeah.
God, that video. That
you don't
that
like
show.
The View.
Oh, I think it's awful. I used to watch it like sporadically when it first started, and then
right.
I'm like, it's awful.
Yeah, it is.
I can't.
It is. It's hard to watch it.
It's so hard to watch.
Yeah.
And I don't really ever want to watch it ever again. But she was on there one time or a couple times. I think they were like she was filling in as a co-host for mm-hmm. one of them.
Right.
She is seriously like the meanest human being.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. That's what I think. But
yeah.
Whatever.
You know, the thing is that I was thinking of, what was I thinking? Oh, Joy Behar got married yesterday.
She
did? That? Yeah.
To the guy she's been dating forever?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes,
I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Good for her.
She did.
Congrats, Joy.
Yeah. Listen, before we go, there's something here that says the most sexist ad of all time.
What is it?
I'd like to play
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
Let's
go.
See. I think they have it on here. Let's see what they're saying. This is part of Showbiz Tonight.
You have got to see this Goodyear tire commercial. Now, this thing was made in the late 60s or the early 70s, but it was just re-released online, and it has got a lot of people calling it the most sexist ad ever. Watch this.
Polyglass means more than mileage when your wife has to drive alone.
Okay, whatever. But
I don't even know.
I guess when your wife has to drive alone, maybe they're like, you know, giving special attention to women drivers. Maybe that's what they mean.
Oh.
I don't know. But it shows you I should listen to these things before I play them. Yeah.
Sorry. I don't even know what I was just going to say.
Understand what the ad was about.
Yeah, because I don't understand what it was.
Yeah.
So it's the most sexist, where you can, is on Google or something?
I
or
don't know.
CNN?
It's not on Google. It's on CNN. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know about this. Sorry about that, guys. I just wasted 2 hours of your time.
Two seconds. I was like, 2 hours. What are you talking? We're not even on air for 2 hours. What is happening?
Obviously, my mind is all over
the
place.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
We're unbelievable sometimes. We amaze me. Does that make any sense?
We amaze you.
Yeah.
Okay.
In so
but
many
people
ways.
Love this shit. I don't stop getting emails from people who just love the stuff. They can't stop.
They actually learn something from us, too, which is so great.
But you know what I realized? You know what I realized, Stephanie, is we don't report the news. We discuss it and give our opinions. It doesn't always have to be accurate.
Right.
We give our opinions. People don't tune in to find out what the news is.
I like that we give half stories.
But our take on the news.
Exactly. I like that we come up with rumors and we just give half of stories. I like that.
That's part of our world.
And you know what? Then people then go and they look things up because we don't know what we're talking about sometimes. Sometimes. A lot of times we do, but then there's sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But, No, I think it's...
But we're commentators, we're comedians, we're entertainers, we're not news reporters. So let's keep that in mind.
Right, we are.
Damn
we are
right.
Entertainers.
Okay.
So on that note...
Yeah, Stephanie, nice to have you back.
Thanks, Sammy.
Thanks all for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow for sure.
You have have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.